at this time, while one has received perfect human body, and from the side, and they have met the perfect human body, that was extremely rare to find generally just to be born enough to be born a human being, or just enough to get human birth, is extremely rare, because that has to come from having practiced pure morality. So therefore, we know how that is not easy, difficult. Usually the fear. Usually there's no interest or fear to do that. And even when try to do, but unable to practice pure. There are so many obstacles from inside the mind, from inside all the delusions. You see, so many obstacles, and obstacles from outside, environment, you see, to practice pure morality. So therefore, yeah, then our perfect human body that is qualified to 8 freedom, 10 regions, is extremely difficult to find. And that's found now. And have met the Buddha Dharma, the even that man, the Buddhism, the Mahayana teaching, that which makes possible that one can achieve full enlightenment, you know, by ceasing all the gross and subtle defilements, and able to liberate numberless sentient beings from all the suffering and causes, and bring them in the full enlightenment. And one has met virtuous friends. Not just virtuous friend who show path to liberation, but a Mahayana virtuous friend who can reveal who reveals the path to enlightenment. Without complete path to enlightenment without missing. So at this time, there's all the opportunities to practice Dharma, and not enough, not sufficient. We don't have this opportunity forever. It's for a very short time. And this opportunity can be stopped any time. Because death is definite, but actual time of death can occur any time. As it is mentioned in the section, in the lumbar outline, in the section of impermanence, in the outline of the meditation on the impermanence, death, generally in this world, in this southern continent, the lives no certainty. You know, simply means in this continent, their life has no certainty. Then, as particular, this degenerated now, this period degenerated time. Particularly, this is degenerated time. So, even much more indefinite uncertainty. So therefore, their death can happen any day. Even today, it can happen any moment. So before that, able to make preparation, not to be reborn in the lower realms, able to receive the human body, that's not sufficient. Even to achieve liberation from samsara, that's not sufficient. Even one is able to achieve this goal, totally free from whole entire samsara, all the sufferings, that's not, still that's not sufficient. That's not the ultimate goal of one's own life. That's still not the purpose of one's own living, just to achieve happiness for oneself. That doesn't fulfill the purpose of one's own life. So one must achieve full enlightenment, to liberate numberless sentiments from the sufferings and bring them in the full enlightenment. To make that happen, one has to change one's attitude. Letting go, I cherish others. Without that, it's not possible. One cannot achieve full enlightenment, cannot complete mind apart, cannot liberate number of sentient beings from all the sufferings and bring them in full enlightenment. Cannot. So now, what happens if one cherish the I, then you are, for example, by cherishing the I, then what happens? Then one experiences all the shortcomings. It interferes it harms, perhaps doesn't allow to have success, to achieve ultimate happiness, liberation, enlightenment, especially enlightenment. Not only that, it interferes even to have success of the happiness of this life. Even temporary happiness is an obstacle for that. As Shantideva, great Bodhisattva Shantideva mentioned in the Guide to Bodhisattva's Life, how much suffering that there is. In the world, all this. What is their need? What is their need? To talk so much. The child does work for self. The mighty one does work for others. Look at these differences. Look at these two differences. So first two verses talks about shortcomings of the search. What happens if you cherish the I? Then the results only suffering, only problems, opening door for all the problems. If your attitude is on seeking happiness for some voluntary, seek the happiness of others, if your attitude to wishing happiness for others, cherishing others, then you see all the happiness you each all the happiness. After enlightenment, including day-to-day life, peace and happiness. The previous one, if you cherish, if your attitude is only seeking happiness for yourself, you want to cherish an I, then you see, from there, all the suffering. So one experience open door for all these sufferings. So that's what. proving what happened, because we lived life cherishing the I, only seeking happiness for oneself. You know, oneself, you see, only live life from beginning is a rebirth, you know, only seeking happiness for oneself. Cherishing the I, you see. Oneself has been living the life. So, Chandadeva calls child. Child means the ordinary being, you see, who live their life with the attitude seeking happiness only for oneself, working for only oneself. That's called child. The ordinary being. So that's called child, who works only for oneself. You know, seeking only happiness for oneself. So we, so oneself has been doing that, how one has been living the lives, the attitudes, from beginning to rebirth up to now, it's like this. So therefore, still child, still you, as a child, nothing, so nothing happened. So far, didn't become enlightened. Before I mention that. Then Buddha, you see, Buddha, he changed his attitude. He changed the mighty one, Buddha, he changed his attitude from, cherishing the I, you know, changed his attitude from that, cherishing to others, into cherishing others. You're from seeking happiness for oneself, change the attitude into seeking happiness for others. So instead of seeking happiness for oneself, then say, changing it, change his attitude from seeking happiness for oneself, then into seeking happiness for others. So attitude and action, from working for self, then into working for others, you see. Change attitude, change action. So even by this, you know, why Buddha is called mighty, Tupa, in Tibetan language, Tupa, mighty one. This is Tupa. You see, why this is named Tupa, mighty, you see, he was able to change the attitude, you know, from self-cherishing thought into cherishing others, as well as the action. So even by this very beginning of the Mahayana path, you see, even this, why Buddha is called Tupa is this mighty, you know, what he could do. So because of that, even though the Buddha was same as even Shakyamuni Buddha, he was same as oneself, same as us, who had all the delusions, who had sicknesses and all the problems of samsara. Exactly the same as us ordinary being before. But exactly the same, having all the problems and delusions, same, you know, substance of mind, same, but he changed. He didn't stay like this, all the time, you know, with that attitude. He changed by realizing shortcomings of self-cherishing thought, benefit of cherishing others, you know, all these, you see, extensive shortcomings, you see, shortcomings of self-cherishing thought and extensive benefits of cherishing others, you know, the bodhicitta, it changed its attitude, you see. So, because of that, having generated bodhicitta, then you see, able to enter the mind path and able to complete the two types of merits, merit of wisdom and merits of virtue, or can be said method. In Tibetan called Sonami Tsok, Ishi Tsok, two types of merit. Merit of wisdom, which is cause of Dharmakaya, merit of virtue, which is cause of Rupakaya, the holy body of Buddha. So Dharmakaya, the holy mind, in the in short ways. But that, so, and achieve full enlightenment and liberated numberless sentient beings already and enlightened them. In each minute, second, liberated numberless sentient beings. You see, what this water Buddha is doing, even with each beam, liberates unimaginable sentient beings. Even with each beam that emits from Buddha's holy body, even within a minute, second. So, you see, this is what happened. Why Buddha is called Mighty One is this. So, this is what happened. Infinite qualities. Buddha has infinite qualities of holy body, holy speech, holy mind. So that unconceivable, beyond from our concept, the Buddha's holy action extends benefit towards the sentient beings. How Buddha was able to benefit from sentient beings. So like that. So came from cherishing others, changing his attitude. Start from there. So now one soul didn't change up to now, so therefore didn't achieve full enlightenment up to now. Didn't achieve even the liberation from samsara. Even that didn't happen up to now. And because following the ego, self-cherishing thought, it didn't allow to have any realization. Up to now, once a mind has been totally empty, from beginningless rebirth up to now, it's empty of realizations. Didn't have any attainment even up to now. So up to now, due to self-cherishing thought, all these other negative emotional thoughts, rises, anger, attachment, all things. So have been experiencing all the sufferings up to now. Again and again, without beginning up to now. Suffering of samsara, each real. So if one never change one's attitude and be the and one in the one style continue to be the same person continuously, following the ego self-cherishing thought, keeping this self-cherishing thought in the heart. These demon self-cherishing thoughts in the heart. Then, if one continues to be the same person all the time, then there won't be any realization, neither enlightenment, nor liberation, nor any realization. endlessly, one will experience suffering of samsara without end. So, how it has been in the past, so it will be like this continuously. One has to experience suffering of samsara endlessly. So therefore, this self-cherishing thought, this ego, is much more harmful than all the atomic bombs that is in the world. Because atomic bomb, even if it explodes, it doesn't cause you, if you have bodhicitta, it doesn't cause you to be born in the hell realms, lower realms. If the atomic bomb exploded, you see, even though it caused split the body and mind, split the mind from the body, but if you have bodhicitta, it doesn't cause you to be born in the lower realms. But if you have self-cherishing thought, you die with the self-cherishing thought, then also due to that, the negative emotion rises. That's what you die with those. Then, and see, also motivated by karma. So then there's causes to be born in the lower realms. So ego self-cherishing thoughts then throws you in the lower realms. So therefore, how many atomic bombs there is, in no comparison. If you compare to the harms of one's own self-cherishing thought, that how much this, you the one person's self-cherishing thought harms you from beginner, let's rebirth up to now, and it will continue as long as you don't eliminate that, then see, it will torture you. It will make you suffer without end. So, and then this gives problem to other sentient beings, gives so much suffering, harm to other sentient beings, cause other sentient beings creating karma. And you see, from life to life, this ego self-cherishing, this demon, this self-cherishing thought, from life to life. So all the sentient beings, from when you think of life to life, long time then, you see, harm to so many, harm to all the sentient beings. So like that. So the atomic bomb doesn't do that. All the harms all the sentient beings. That doesn't do that. So therefore, this ego, this self-cherishing thought, is abiding in my heart. This is much more harmful than the atomic bomb. Atomic bomb is how harmful is nothing compared to this. And then normally people are terrified when they hear what the doctor says, you have cancer. People might get so terrified. For example, many of my gurus have taken cancer. They passed through the meditation state, and they again reincarnate. In the monastery, they again to benefit the father. Sentient beings, they take the aspect again starting, to benefit other sentient beings. Showing the aspect as ordinary being, then you go to monastery and show the transpire others, it's childhood, then go to monastery study, go through the what ordinary people go through. Like Buddha also did the same thing, born kings, then child play, competition, those days, then marriage, all that, afterwards, then you see, then show the aspect. Even though Buddha became enlightened inconceivable eons ago, but Buddha showed aspect having discovered, only in that life discovered suffering, all these things in death, all these things, rebirth. then look for, to meditate, look for a spiritual guru, and however, went to a stress life for 6 years, like that, then show enlightenment, then reveal Dharma. Attempt to subdue the Maras, who attack, just before, and then the morning time, tomorrow morning, dawn time, when to become enlightened, then the day before the night, the dusk time, and then Maras attack. Then those millions of Maras, Buddha, with loving kindness, without slightest movement, meditation state, loving kindness, subdued all of them. So all those many millions of the martyrs. So anyway, didn't want the Buddha to be enlightened, at all, at an attack. So like that. So here, for example, many of my gurus, took cancer, but just changed the body and they took another young body, fresh, the body is healthy, and to benefit from other sentient beings. cancer, experience having cancer, such as this illness alone doesn't make to be born in lower realms. If you have self-cherishing thought, that makes to be born law realms. So therefore, you see, even dies with self-cherishing thought, you know. So therefore, also then, one, you see, you know, even one experiences sicknesses, cancer, so forth, but one can also can go to pure land, the Buddhas, pure land, such as the Kalachara pure land, Shambhala, or Amitabha pure land, or Vajrayogini pure land, or Kheruka pure land, those pure land where there's tantra teaching, and you can become enlightened there, just next life. You know, at the time of death, you go to pure land and become enlightened there, in those specific pure land where there is tantra teaching exists. So, so therefore, what is really frightening is the ego. It's not the sicknesses, not the cancer. So, 424 sicknesses. Yeah, all this, how much harm is nothing comparing the one's own ego self-cherishing thought. You see, all those things is nothing. If you compare, which is more harmful. So, then, how much weapon there is in the world, so it's nothing. Their harm is nothing compared to one's own self-cherishing thought. How it's harmful to oneself, to others, and things. So, if there is a good heart, bodhicitta, no matter how many weapons you own, how many weapons you have, they are harmless. But even you don't have any weapon, you see, but your attitude is self-cherishing thought, you see, then there's danger. Even one doesn't have any weapon, there's danger to harm others with the body, with the speech, and with the mind. You know, there's, you see, sleep, great danger to harm with the body, with the speech, with the mind. So how much pollution there is in the world, how much poison there is in the world, those harms and the harm of the self-cherishing thought, shortcomings of self-cherishing thought, all those external ones, nothing. When we compare the harm, how much harm the ego self-cherishing thought does to you and to others and things, from life to life. So therefore, the self-cherishing thought is something that one must get rid of without delaying a second. Without delay, even a second, is something to get rid of. So, something to be abandoned. This self-cherished thought, you know, always interrupts. Does not allow to practice Dharma. Even when one try to meditate. Finally, even one say found the opportunity. How's it? Finally, when one met Buddha Dharma, or say finally when it happened to meditate, to, you know, to open mind to meditate. To help yourself. You know, to have realization, to have real change that which never happened before from beginning to rebirth. You see, this time to have real change, and you see to have realization. Even finally it happened to meditate, but again this so. Self-cherishing thought comes and you see doesn't allow even say even for the even 1 minute, you know, to able to concentrate. It doesn't allow to concentrate one pointedly, you know, doesn't allow. It rises, and then you see, because of that, then the attachment, those other emotions arises, and you see, then you see, distracts the mind on other objects. So, doesn't allow to do a perfect meditation, even one with a minute, even for 1 minute. even during the one mala or the sato om mani padme hum, doesn't allow to have, you see, to say continuously to able to meditate. It interrupts, makes it imperfect. And then, like this, if you want to wish to practice Dharma, so one thing is the self-cherishing thought, you see, it interferes, even to have to wish to practice Dharma, it doesn't allow. And it causes fear to practice Dharma. You see, it causes fear, you know, to say, to let go I, you know, to cherish others, or to offer the victory to others. It does not allow. It doesn't say. Because of self-cherishing thought, then the desire, and desire rises. And then, see, it doesn't allow to practice renunciation. Renunciation of samsara, or renunciation of this life. So it doesn't allow pure practice. Pure Dharma practice, it doesn't allow. So even one wishes, to practice, you know, one knows Dharma, to practice Dharma is good, you know, good thing for oneself, and also it's a good thing for others. Even one knows, but it doesn't, that the ego doesn't allow to practice Dharma, always, makes oneself say, excuse, to do something else. Always, you know, to do something else. And then the Dharma practice gets delayed. Similar, the self-cherishing thought doesn't allow to practice, to take vows, to take precepts, not just, you know, ordination, high precepts, not just mokana, not that, even lay vows, lay precepts, you know. Self-cherishing thought, see, it gives you fear. Makes you fear to take precepts. So it interrupts. Even if you have opportunity, even when one is in the place, you know, where there's opportunity to receive, to take, you know, to experience. But again, the ego doesn't allow to that. It interrupts. Because of that, the attachment arises. You know, doesn't allow to practice, reject. Even when I've taken the vows at the lay or ordination, high ordination, monk and nun, those vows, then again, the self-cherishing thought is abiding there. So, so then again, that, you see, that harms you, you know, doesn't allow you to practice pure. Cause, you see, due to that, many negative other in the attachment, so emotional arises, then that, you see, makes to break the vows. So the ego harms, even you are trying to be, trying to have pure life, you know, the ego doesn't allow, it interrupts. And like that, it's ego doesn't allow to. To continue to live in pure life, you know, in pure vow. And you see, that, and then the ego doesn't allow, even there's opportunity to make, to practice charity, to collect merit, good karma by making charity, but ego subtraction, charity thought don't allow to that. You to collect merit by making charity. So even one has met, even one has met guru, same as Shakyamuni Buddha or Maitreya Buddha or Manjushri, like this. Even one actually meet him, nothing higher, nothing more, there's no teaching other than this. There's no teaching something else than this to hear, to learn. There's nothing. So such gurus, even one that is like him, like these Buddhas, by mentioning that, I'm not saying that I'm one of them. I'm not saying that you shouldn't think that way. For example, as soon as Dalai Lama, or like Geshe Sopa Rinpoche, so like that is an example like that. That even you actually meet Manjushri, nothing, no other, so nothing, something else than this, than what they teach you to hear, to learn, is nothing. So, however, you see, I made a virtuous friend like that. I say, but unable to I say, follow follow the advice, unable to surrender to the the guru revealing the path to enlightenment, unable to surrender. So who doesn't allow to do that, you know, is by the ego, self-cherishing thought. Again. So therefore, why even one has met a virtuous friend, most qualified you can find in the world, but nothing happened to one's mind. Even one has received all the teachings, Sutra, Tantra, most profound, most secret, all these, in a whole path of enlightenment, heard many times, but nothing happened. No change, still same, nothing happened to one's mind. That's completely, totally. So, because oneself followed the self. Oneself, you see, whom one followed is the ego, self-cherishing thought. Instead of following the guru, surrendering the guru, one surrendered the ego. One followed the ego. One became the disciple of the ego. Oneself became the disciple of the ego. Following the ego, day and night. Listen what the ego says, all the time listen to what the ego says, so like that. So due to this, so why there's no change, why there's no realizations, even I've met with Dharma, have heard all these teachings so many years ago, so many times heard, but nothing happened to this mind, nothing, have no change, nothing still the same. So that's completely the shortcoming, I said, following the ego. Surrendered the ego, you see. And so therefore, by following this ego, even all the Buddhas come, as long as we don't give up this ego, self-cherishing thought, all the Buddhas come in front of you, they give you teaching, you see. Even they all come in front of you, give teaching. Won't be able to achieve realization because as long as one doesn't change the mind, you know, as long as one follows the ego, you see, cannot, no way to achieve enlightenment. So like that. All the unhappiness in the daily life, whenever we experience unhappiness, depression, is, you see, what caused is by the ego self-cherishing thought. Any obstacle that we experience, obstacles, perhaps dharma, obstacles even to achieve the happiness of this life, to have success of this life, all those can caused by ego. And how many times we suffered due to relationship problems? How many times, one after another, on and on, gone through relationship problems? So all this totally, due to ego, came from the ego. Because of self-cherishing thought, then this attachment, desire, which is right, you know, rises. You see, created all this suffering, confusion, the relationship problems, also problems to others. Others' unhappiness, anger, jealousness, all this. So many times, thought came, see, life is totally overwhelmed by suffering, sophisticated life is, so one matter, one has so one experiences life, suffocating life, there's so many problems, you know, depression, so such as relationship problems, you know, one experience suffocating life, you know, then thought rising to commit suicide. When there's no other solution, can't think of anything, and then thought rises to kill oneself, to jump from the roof or from the bridge, or like the San Francisco, the bridge, or the, what's that, the famous bridge, Golden Bridge? No, what's that? Golden Gate, or Australia, also the Sydney, or the bridge, yes. Anyway, there are many bridges like that where people, you know, when they can't take much, you know, when the life become due to attachment, ego, you know, become life suffocating, then just what comes is jump from the roof or from, how to say, sometimes in bathtubs. But I think the electricity or something, I'm not sure what it is. So anyway, like that. Thought coming, is it? Thought coming, many times thought came to, you know, to commit suicide to oneself. So all this definitely related to the self-cherishing thought. Definitely you can see the connection to that. Because failed in business, you know, lost, say, thousands or millions of dollars, however, failed in business, then nervous breaking, and then again committed suicide. Again, here comes committed suicide, thoughts of crisis. However, all these unhappy life problems definitely related to the ego. Because in the past, out of ego, did the action stealing, you know, the covetousness, stealing, these things done. You see, which causes these things, you know, to not have success. So therefore, also taking life, you see. So your wishes doesn't get fulfilled, you know. So one day, you see, a loss, say, failing business. So having so much difficult life. So in the past, why it is so unhappy is related with the present life subjection thought, but also is to do they come from the karma, those the karma that I mentioned. But that's how that karma happened, because first the self attitude is self-cherishing thought, then did those actions. That's how they become the karma, the stealing and telling lie and the covenant. I mean the covenant is that is the thought, but there is other actions, speech in the body. You see, become the karma, because the motivation behind it is self-cherishing thought. So that's how they become the karma, transformed into karma. So then these problems even be, you see, unable to success in business, failed. So how you definitely connected to the self-cherishing thought, or even these things, problems in business.